For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Season. Three games and four nights get it going. And after that, bit of a disaster versus the Habs. A lot of people were in panic mode. But then we got a couple of wins at home versus the Capitals and the Senators, which brought a little bit of comeback to Leafs Nation and the media too, I have to say, with the exception of the goaltending that never seems to go away.
Yeah. Anyway, we have a lot to get into, but before we do, we want to talk a little bit about Joey Slick and Bradley Scarborough and their adventure at the Tim Hortons drive-thru.
That was fun. I just watched it again. And it was, I don't know, a couple of the favorite moments I loved on there. One is that Michael Bunting actually offered a customer a sleeve. And he put the drinks in a tray too. He's quite serviceable that way with the different different extras that you normally do when you serve coffee. And then I actually liked when Austin Matthews said he was thinking what kind of accent to put on, and I would love to hear his Canadian accent. I don't know. Just like, what would his version of a Canadian accent be? But that was hilarious. I don't know. What'd you think of it?
My favorite line was, "This is preposterous." I thought that was hilarious. And then going in and asking for the manager. And the other part when he said something, so what's up, scumbags, or something like that when he came to the drive-thru.
Yeah. And they really don't give Willie a lot of credit for anything. Like, they basically think he's doing nothing.
No, he giggled a lot. He was laughing his head off, which I thought was so funny and so cute. Anyway, they did a great job. And I loved that this was kind of a nice segue between the preseason and leading into the season. And it was an opportunity to see a different side of them that we don't really get to see. And I kind of will always remember that when I'm seeing them. And it does come to mind when I see them give their kind of canned responses, and they're very, you know, stone faced and stuff when they're in front of the media, like really emotionless. And it was just nice to see parts of their personality that we don't get to see much.
Yeah. It was funny. It was just like when they were driving on the highway too, or wherever on the road.
Yeah.
Kids, hey, that's Morgan Riley with the. Like,
they wouldn't be recognized. So funny. It was really, really good though. And I'll probably keep watching it over and over again, just like you watched it yesterday, because it's so fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyhow, next up, we want to give a shout out to our friends, Marlene Prosser and Dee Erickson, who are the admin of the Facebook group called Female Fans of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Marlene and Dee invited us to do a Facebook live talk with members of their group, which was great. I mean, it's the first time we ever did it. And I thought it was just good. It was post game after the Habs game. And yeah, it was fun to interact with some of their group members that joined us, and we hope to do it again too.
Yeah, it was really, really nice. I mean, we are, you know, it's a little bit of a learning curve for us, but we promise we're going to get better and better at it. Yeah, it was really fun and a nice place to talk to women who love the Leafs as much as we do. And I think like a safe space for women to talk hockey on there. And there was like no mansplaining to be found, which is nice. And I look forward to being able to do it again.
Yeah, and it's just great to have like people across the country too. We talked to
100%
a woman in Saskatchewan and who's a huge fan, and you know, Leafs Nation is everywhere. So that was another great thing about it too, just to talk to members of Leafs Nation throughout the country. And if you join the group, maybe we'll be talking to you hopefully, and you can. We hope to get more. Like we said, we hope to get more shows in like that and get more of the group members involved.
Mm-hmm. All right. And now it's time to get into our show proper and back to our regular season format, starting with the good, the bad, and the ugly. And then we're going to run the Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel. And in our third period segment, we're going to talk about the Hockey Canada situation. And also, to end on a positive note, we'll announce the winner of our third anniversary contest. So without any further ado, let's talk Leafs.
Good, the bad, the ugly. It's back. Mm-hmm. And we have something for all three right away at the start of the season. So, starting off with my good here, it's there wasn't too much choice. And actually, Syl took all the choices that could be. So, possibly. But anyways, my good, I'm going to give it to Alexander Kerfoot. Even last night versus the Sens, I mean, I was... We're recording this on the Sunday after the Senators game. And I just saw him behind the net and just doing his thing, causing a little bit of havoc there. He was had the puck on his stick a lot. And he's now playing center. He's like the versatile guy, right? Now he's playing center on the third line between Engvall and Callie Yamkroak. So he only has the one assist for the three games, but and he's 43% on the faceoffs. But considering he wasn't playing a lot, anyways, if anything, even last season at center, he was always on the wing with JT and Nylander. But I think the faceoffs it'll get better for him. I noticed he was taking some faceoffs on the PK as well, so he's on the PK too. And I don't know, he's just that versatile guy, and he's averaging about 15 minutes ice time. And actually, the one thing he does need to work on though is because he had the penalty shot versus the Habs, he could work on that shot a little bit more too, right? Like to get some. I looked at the replay again. It would have gone in. I guess Jake Allen caught it on the shaft of the stick, I think. But he caught a little bit of the puck there to stop it. But yeah, and even last night he had an opportunity. So hopefully, I mean, we need that third line not only to be a kind of like a checking shutdown line, but we need it to produce. So, so I'm giving my good to Alexander Kerfoot.
All right. Yeah. So I have to agree with you. He's definitely a hard worker. Like, you always notice him working out there, and he's usually trying to create something. And a lot of the time it's that energy. So I think that that's really good. And like you, like we've talked about, he's definitely a really good utility guy. And, you know, I know he's talked about in trade talks a lot, but I really think he's so useful for our team.
He's not flashy, right? He's just, he just goes out there, well, does the job.
And... as you described with the penalty shot.
Yeah.
Right. But
you can tell he's a team guy, and just like he does his job, and rarely do I don't know. I don't want to say anything, knock on wood, but rarely do you see any major gaffes that he makes. And now being at center, it's a more prominent role there on the third line. So only 3 games into the season. Hopefully he just keeps it up.
All right. So I'm going to give my shout out for the good to the second line. The second line that was much maligned last season, I have to say, have started the year guns a-blazing. JT looks like a new man. He looks faster out there, and he's just really gutting it out, making great plays, and had that really nice goal on the doorstep where he used to like to go. So that's a good sign. Yeah. And then, of course, Willie has just looked great. And I just see with him, even though last year he looked like he was kind of on a mission, this year there seems to be a little bit of joy in his game. Like, I don't know, like we found out that he had the migraines last year. None of us really knew about that. He's got the new visor. I wonder if that's making a big difference for him on the ice, but he's got like a spring in his step out there, and he has been playing incredible. They basically are leading the team in points between the two of them. JT has 4 points, Willie has 3. And they are so far a plus. And last year they were in a big hole in the minus. So, and Malgin also is definitely looking good out there too. So I'm really liking what I'm seeing from the second line right now.
Yeah, Malgin actually got a pretty big hit in there last night.
I know.
We actually heard the boards when we were down there at the game versus the Sens, and we were like, "Who is that?" Still saying to me, "Is that Malgin?" And I'm like, "Yeah." He's playing well. Although I hear Nick Robertson might be coming up soon, but we'll get into that.
Yes, I'm sure we'll get into that shortly.
Yeah, and then like you said, JT is just he's playing great. He was a little bit, I don't know. Everybody in that game versus the Habs was not
slow.
Yeah. It was kind of like not ready for it, but except for Willie, have to say Willie is definitely been the best player so far on the team. And they're just that chemistry. They just need to keep it going. Like last year they had I think they started off this way again. Like they had that good chemistry between them, but now they got Malgin as the new line mate, right, as opposed to Kerfoot. So I don't know, maybe that let's just hope that they can continue it a little bit longer into the season. Obviously they're not going to be like every night fabulous, but they've been carrying the team basically. I mean,
100%
the top line. I mean, they've done okay, let's say, the last couple of games, but definitely that second line has carried the team so far, I think, this season. So this all right, very early season.
Okay, so let's move on to the bad. So what do you want to talk about with that you're not quite happy with at the moment?
All right, so the bad. It's not really on the ice, actually. It's actually in the game presentation by MLSE for opening night. I don't know. Opening night is a big deal for me and Sil, like, and for a lot of Leafs Nation. I mean, we've been going to opening nights for, I don't know how many years now. And
we're talking about the home opener here.
Yeah, the home opener. Yeah. Not the one versus the Habs. It's the home opener versus the Capitals. I don't know. Like, I guess the 48th Highlanders normally comes out, and I know it's an old tradition, but we like tradition. And I think they came out, I don't know when they came out because nobody was there basically in the building when they came out.
I think it's, this is like the, I don't know how, it's been a few years now since they haven't really been, you know, front and center. Yeah. But it seems like they're sending them out earlier and earlier and earlier. And now they came out to like an empty building. So I don't know. What is the point?
Exactly. Like if nobody's going to see them and like there's no point to that. I'm hoping they change that for next season. I did retweet Mike Ross, the in-game announcer there at Scotiabank Arena. He tweeted the picture. That's the only way I found out that they were there. So, and the other thing they didn't do, which I didn't like, was that they didn't honor anything or say anything about Matthews being the league MVP. That I thought was a huge mistake. I mean, he's only the third player in franchise history to do that. The last time it was won was 1955. I mean, I know they don't, I think they just didn't do anything or make a big deal. Not even a big deal, like just didn't mention it. Like, right, so the fans could give him a little of applause there because...
Yeah, because it happened during the playoffs, like in the middle of the finals.
Yeah.
When all these awards were handed out. So we as fans did not get to celebrate him at all.
No. And
except like, does Twitter count? Like, that's basically it. Like, they just sent out some tweets saying, you know, good on you, Austin, for doing this. And that's then it. That's it.
Yeah. No. And I thought that was wrong. I mean, I don't think they should go so far as like in. It's Detroit, obviously, is a little bit of a different situation, but I did see that they actually had the Calder Trophy there for Moritz Seider, and they did a little thing before the game.
Yeah, I guess that would have been too much hardware to wheel out there for Austin.
Yeah, but not only that, but I think like the just the point in, I think, not that they're worried, but I think the Leafs, like they know what the goal is, right? It's not about these individual awards, but still.
Well, I do recognize that they want to make it all about the team, and that's fine. And he has always done that, but it's not about that. It is about the connection between the fans and the player. And what were we just talking about before with, you know, we really like Joey Slick and Bradley Scarborough. Yeah. We never get to see those guys. And that was a really fun thing to see. And there is so little access between the fans and the players now. This is just an opportunity to foster that, I think.
Yeah. And the, I mean, it wasn't all bad, I'll have to say, just before we move on to your bad, but having Rodion Amirov there as part of the team and introducing him at the home opener, it was really good that they did that. And I thought it was great that Samsonov, since that's his apparently how you pronounce his name, Samsonov now, our goalie, he actually had him meet with some of the Capitals, like Ovi and Kuznetsov and Orlov, because he doesn't know any English or very little English. So
and we don't have any other Russians on our team.
No. So he had him, right, except for... I guess our alumni member, Nick Andropov, is our official interpreter guy. Right? Yeah. So it was nice to see him. And I saw him on Instagram. He did, he was, I guess, touring around Toronto and doing the CN Tower thing. So he had a little, he had a little film of going on the elevator at the CN Tower. So that was good. Yeah. All right. So what's your bad?
My bad is again, goes back to opening night, and it's about the team not being prepared and not being ready for that game. It seems like they definitely came out flat. And Sheldon Keefe even said afterwards that it was unacceptable given what they've been through. And I 100% agree with that. We've talked many times about having to, you know, really show your domination over teams that you should be beating. And Montreal is a team that is vying for last place. There's no excuse, even though they're really good on the breakouts and the line rushes. It's not acceptable to come out that way and play like you are half asleep and not ready to start the season.
Yeah, especially in a place like the Bell Center. I mean, how can you not be
100%
like up for that? And they're, like Sheldon Keefe said, they're a veteran team. I mean, enough of this whole learning the lessons, right? I think there's no more lessons to be learned here for the regular season anyways. It was kind of bizarre that they weren't ready at the drop of the puck. And of course, that was the Stanley Cup for the Habs, right? Because I think they've lost every other game that they've had now since then. Like, I think they've got two losses in a row. So, that's fine. They can be so happy about that. So we're up for bigger things, obviously, but you would hope that I'm definitely going to be making a point of all these lower echelon teams, let's say. I'm going to be writing down to or monitoring to say like our performance. And at the end of the season, we're going to revisit it to say, because these are points that are lost that are important at the end of the season, these points in October, November. And it could have made a difference last year too, for our, where we were in the standings. We may not have had to have played Tampa, being in that second spot. We could have got top spot if we had won two or three games versus the like Buffalo, Detroit, that sort of thing. Arizona, we lost to, I think, too, who we're playing tomorrow night. But tomorrow night's the next one. We'll see how they show up on Arizona.
It was lucky that we even won yesterday too. Like it was touch and go there for a while. And they even though we won the game, great, but we didn't dominate like we should have dominated. So All right. So let's move on now to the ugly. Unfortunately, so early in the season, we do have a couple things to talk about. So Chris, what's your ugly?
All right. So my ugly is the goaltending. Maybe I just didn't want to talk about this actually, but the goaltending issue is just never ending for Kyle Dubas in his tenure as Leafs GM. I don't know. I look back because I remember Peter Mrazek had this groin injury last year around the same time. I decided to look it up and it's almost a year to the day. It was October 14 that he played one game and then he was basically put on, I don't know if it was LTIR, but he was injured for about five or six games with the groin injury. So Matt Murray, of course, I don't know. It's just very odd. I heard this morning some reports from Sheldon Keefe from last night. He said that like all was going good with him the whole summer and everything. He's feeling good, feeling great. And now he's on LTIR with the abductor injury for like four or five weeks or something like that. So, I mean, it's, I guess it's just frustrating because it's such an important position. Like you should build out from the goaltender and we just haven't managed to get it right. On a positive, I did hear the positive, so I try and take the positive, but it's the opportunity for Samsonov to actually take the reins a little bit and I guess show he's worth that 1 year deal, which is what he wanted, prove himself. I just think it's an ugly situation for Kyle Dubas, and knock on wood, it won't be the case. But if he ends up being let go after the season, depending on how this season goes, this could be not only just the way the salary cap structure of the team and how he's positioned it with the four players, but the goaltending situation could be another big reason why. Like he just hasn't been able to get the steady goaltending. But anyhow, that's my ugly. And I mean, we tweeted it out on Facebook that Syl and I could have covered the net for the $4 and a meal. I actually put in a meal too. So we'll see. I don't know.
We'll see if we get the call up.
Yeah. Yeah. But Samsonov played pretty well last night. He seems to be shaky in the start of the game a little bit. And then he gets back in the groove again for the rest of the game. So hopefully.
Well, he's only let in four goals so far in his two games. So
yeah,
it's not too shabby.
Yeah. And we did hear an interview with Ed Belfour on another podcast, that he, he said that it takes about a month or so for a goalie to actually get used to his new surroundings and stuff with the new team. So got to take it from Eddie the Eagle.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. So and
what's your ugly?
So I'm going to go back again to that, to that Habs game. I think that's just overall just so not sitting well with me. And so I my first bad was with the start of the game. And now I'm also going to look at the end of the game because how we were not able to push that game into overtime is beyond me. It's just, yeah. So
especially after Willie tied it up. Right?
Yeah.
And there wasn't that.
How do you not control it, you know,
And it was late in the game already that he tied it up. So it's not like they had, like, it just didn't, yeah, it didn't make sense to me either.
No, way. Like all they needed to do was keep it to the boards and fight out those last minutes. And instead they're, you know, trying to break out on offense, which is just ridiculous. So they should have just managed the puck for a few more minutes, get it to overtime and just be smart. And again, it's just, their heads just were not in the game from the get-go. That's all I'm going to say about that. But I'm sure they got an earful that night for sure from the coaching staff. So I hope that I don't see that again for the rest of the year.
Sheldon Keefe did say a lot of things were said, but he didn't repeat what was said. So we can only imagine that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it is only game number one, that one. So we took it with a grain of salt, as we said. We weren't quite, or at least I wasn't. I don't know. I wasn't going that crazy about that game. But all the media and everything, it was like the seemed to be like the end of the world on hockey Twitter and the media and everything. So,
well, that's just being a Leaf fan, though.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyhow, it isn't great that it's our first episode covering the start of the regular season. And we both found some ugly issues. But then we also found some highlight reel moments. So let's roll the Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel.
All right. So coming in at number three, with a goal and an assist through three games, we have Austin Matthews taking our third spot on our highlight reel. He got the game winner versus the Capitals in the home opener. And we've seen him being physical so far. He's you know, hasn't been putting up that much as far as highlight reel goals yet, but he is still making his presence felt, and you can see him involved in all the plays when his line's out there.
Yeah, I think Austin is probably the only time he's been number three on our highlight reel.
Maybe.
I think he's been number two, but no, he's not the third one, number three. But no, he's been. He's just tuning up, let's just say. Mm-hmm. And I think Mitch has to get going a little bit too to it's a duo a little bit too, right? So once Mitch starts getting on the board too, that's going to get Austin moving up and scoring goals. But I do like the physicality in his game that he's been showing. But like Syl mentioned to me last night, he does need to just pick his spots too.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, so going on to number two, our second spot in the Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel goes to Captain John Tavares. So he has a goal and three assists in the first three games of the season. On average, he is at 59% on the faceoff dot, and he just seems to be moving better and making plays, which is what he's supposed to be doing. It was on Hockey Night in Canada or Sportsnet. They were talking about how our face-offs, we were like one of the top teams, if not the top in face-offs, and we haven't been doing well through the first three games. But, I mean, 59% ain't too bad for JT there. So, yeah, I just we talked about him a little bit earlier. We're liking his game a lot now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the face-off thing, I think they need to bring Spezza down to work with some of the guys, because I think that's part of the reason why we're not doing as great. Like, we're really missing him in the face-off dot. But JT is still doing great there. So maybe he needs to take some of these guys under his wing and work with them. And I guess, you know, Austin's maybe not in mid-season form there yet with the face-off. Mm-hmm. So,
I think he's at 49% from what I saw. So it's not bad. Yeah.
Getting there. Yeah. But yeah, I've been really impressed with John Tavares. I've been kind of watching him in isolation, and he definitely looks like a different guy out there this year. He definitely looks like he's on a mission this year. You know, last year it was his line mate that we thought was on a mission. but this year, he is looking feisty. He's getting to his spots. He's working hard out there, and he's looking a little faster than he did last year. Even so, that I think he's still kind of, you know, tuning into game shape there. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think he's looking good so far. All right. So in our number one spot, that spot goes to the aforementioned line mate, William Nylander, who we think has been the best Leaf player through the first few games of this season. Willie has 2 goals and 3 assists, and he's showing a lot of confidence carrying and shooting the puck so far this year. He's looking so joyful out there, like I mentioned before. Yeah. And definitely he's looking like Slick Willie this year so far.
I love it. Like, I mean, one thing we do have to improve on is our power play. We're not doing too well in that case, mm-hmm. but I just love it when you see Willie, when he takes the puck and he's like, does a lap around. Both him and Mitch tend to be able to have that finesse or skill to do that and do a lap around the offensive zone while they're trying to figure out, okay, what am I going to do with this puck? A lot of times though, I think he should shoot more, but yeah, no, there's not much else we can say about Willie. He's been great. Maybe he should just improve on the, Tim Hortons drive-through experience. Right. He maybe needs to go additional training there, but
yeah, I guess, you know, it is early in the season. So obviously we want to see this consistently play out throughout the season,
He's known to kind of obviously disappear for a little bit, but we'll hopefully, I mean, again, you're not going to be for all 82 games. The players aren't going to be like going every night, but let's just hope he keeps those to a minimum and keeps playing well.
All right. So on the topic of highlight reel moments, we want to remind you that you can check out our YouTube channel where we are posting our own video highlights from Leaf games that we attend throughout the season. You can find the link to our YouTube channel in our show notes or on any of our social media profile pages. So now it's time for us to pivot to our third period segment.
Yeah, so for the third period segment, we're going to be talking a little bit more serious situation here that we haven't spoken about at all on our show. It's dealing with the ongoing problems at Hockey Canada. And yeah, we just want to give our thoughts on what's gone on and moving forward, what we hope to see. So I mean, for me, I was actually, when I was talking with Scylla a little bit about this before we decided to talk about it on the show, I was just wondering actually what's going on with the victims, like, and because I know that there's a lot of players that were on that team, and that, like, I don't know if it's at the legal point and nobody can say anything, and Syl was mentioning that it was like they're being protected, I guess, from anything moving forward that way. But you just kind of, I don't know, you just kind of think about them, and that's basically it's a sad situation that way. And and I also, I just found it funny too that the only way that this board of Hockey Canada like gave up their positions was as the sponsors each one by one like took back their sponsorship basically, or negated their sponsorship of Hockey Canada. And I thought, like, really? Like, right? Like, it was obvious, like, from almost the start basically, that there was no no confidence in that board, like they needed to go. Mm-hmm. And they waited and waited and waited, and they're finally now gone. thankfully. Yeah. So I listened to the 32 Thoughts from last night with Elliot Friedman and Jeff Merrick, and they said that I guess a new board is going to it's going to be a transition board for about a year, and apparently Haley Wickenheiser might be considered for that or to have a role in it. She had some pretty strong words for Hockey Canada too, like just to say how it was just awful, basically, the situation.
I think that, well, first of all, I have to say, where does she find the time?
Like, yeah.
I know. It's pretty incredible how many roles she can take on. But I think that is important that you have a strong spokesperson, someone who is well-respected in the hockey world still, to be at the forefront, because they do have a huge image problem. And I actually think that it's a great that it would be a person that is involved in the women's game, because that is one of my things that I'm concerned about, that, you know, you're taking away, like, all these sponsorships have dropped out, and some of them have decided to stay on and support the women's game and the grassroots, and just not support the men's game. But some of them have dropped off completely. And I think that it would be unfair for the women's team, to be, you know, adversely affected by this. Yeah. So that's another part of it.
But with the national women's team, they've been quite vocal too, saying that they want to be, they want to like have a voice basically at this, in Hockey Canada's future, which is really, it's great to hear that and to see that.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, like, we like to keep it light on this show. Obviously, we're a show for fans, but we just felt that it's important that, you know, we say something about this, because it's something that affects the game that we love.
And all these players that we watch have gone, a lot of them, Canadian, and they've gone through that system, right?
So, and it's unfortunate, because I was a hockey parent. Both of my boys played, and they are now out of the system. But, you know, I did have my misgivings even when they're in minor hockey, because there's just so much privilege. You know, it is the epitome of privilege in Canada to be involved in hockey. You know, it's run by the, you know, white male, you know, old boys club, and it's so protected. And this is the fallout from that. But you can see shades of it through every level of hockey and in every minor hockey organization. So I think this is something that was a long time coming. I can't believe how courageous these women were to finally come out and speak on this. And I applaud the reporters that are working on this and digging on it, like Rick Westhead, for example, and the other people that he's working with to uncover some of this stuff. Now, I don't know, like, if you know, the past is the past in a way. So, like, I think a lot of these agreements are now legally binding, whatever was done to cover these things. I don't know if they can be opened up at this point, but that doesn't mean that things can't change for the better later. And I'm hoping that that's kind of what happens.
And it's all starting now, I guess, with the dissolving of that board and a new transition board is going to be named. So we have to look positively and at the situation moving forward. But, and like Haley Wickenheiser said, the lights won't go out at the arenas across Canada.
That is the epitome of do they actually think that they have control over all of that? You know,
right.
That's just ridiculous. Hockey was played long before Hockey Canada was in existence, and it will continue to be played, you know, whatever happens and, you know, whatever this transitions into being. Maybe it won't even be Hockey Canada anymore. Maybe it'll be something else entirely.
Yeah.
All right, so now we want to move to something a little more positive, and we want to announce the winner of our third anniversary contest. The winner is Manuel Vizcay. I hope that I said that right. Manuel told us that he's been a Leaf fan for as long as he can remember, going all the way back to the 70s and watching Daryl Sittler, and his current favorite player today is Austin Matthews.
Yeah, and Manuel first found out about our podcast on Twitter, and he has listened to our show, so we thank him for that. And yeah, congratulations on winning our anniversary contest. We're sure that you'll enjoy the prize of some Leaf gear that we're going to be sending you, and a Tim's gift card. And it was funny when he said in an email that he wrote back to us, he said he's been a Leaf fan for as long as he can remember. And I'm thinking, well, that's me and Syl too. We go back as long as we can remember. Like some people say, how long have you been a Leaf fan? And I'm like, I don't know, maybe like 9, 10 years old, something like that, but basically as long as we can remember. So yeah. So congratulations, Manuel Vizcaya. And all right, so moving on now, the Leafs have a big road trip coming up over the next couple of weeks. They play Dallas at home on Thursday before going to Winnipeg, and then they do the California road trip the following week. I can't believe that they're doing that in October, but anyhow, seems to be getting earlier and earlier all the time.
And that's like, that's weird bouncing around playing in Dallas and then going to Winnipeg and then going to California. Yeah. Wow.
No, they're at home against Dallas.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, it's still.
But still, the Winnipeg part is the thing that throws it off, right?
Right. Yes. It just seems like just a weird offshoot there. I don't know. Anyway. All right. Well, given the injury situation, and you never know what will happen while on the road trip, so it's going to be interesting to see who gets called up and how Keefe handles the goalie situation. And will Samsonov play the majority of games, or will Eric Schallgren get in a game or two? And I guess there's also been some talk that Nick Robertson could be coming up. So with that extra LTIR dollar
four
amount.
Million.
We'll see what happens there.
It's gone from $4 to $4 million.
That's right. So it's $4 million and $4. So, anyways, we're definitely gonna have a lot to talk about on our next episode. And in the meantime, you can keep up to date on the Leafs by following us on social media, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And our handle there is at LTL1917.
Yeah, also be sure to visit our website, ladiestalkingleafs.com, where you can find out more about us and our show. And a reminder that we are on the Believe Network, and you can listen to us there or on your favorite app. We also would appreciate it if you could leave us a rating or review and let us know what you think of the show. It's easy on Apple and Spotify, and it's important for our show to get more exposure as a source for Leaf content. And we thank you for taking the time.
And another way to help us out is by visiting our Ko-fi page at ko-fi.com. You can follow us there. And if you choose to, you can support us by buying us a coffee. Any donation goes towards helping us produce the show and making it even better for you. And you can find the link to our Ko-fi page on our show notes or in any of our social media profile pages.
And as always, we'd like to thank our healthcare workers and first responders for everything that they do. I guess the flu season is upon us, and we're hearing that numbers are going up that way. So everybody just wash your hands, stay healthy. Stay as healthy as you can.
That's right. Yeah. All right. So thanks for listening. And until next time, go Leafs, go.
Go.
Do you believe?
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.